John Daly here. You know what day it is? Neither do I. I live life daily. That's why I only spin on Moto Casino. Moto's got daily free bonuses, daily tournaments, new slots added daily. And the best part? Guaranteed daily jackpots. You can't beat that. So today's the day you grip it and spin it with me on Moto. America's social casino. Play for free on Moto.us.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Download the Moto Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Fourth and final hour, Darren Donica Chase here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, here on this glorious Thursday afternoon here in Middle Tennessee. Man, it is going to be awesome weather the next 4 days indeed. Low 80s today, sunshine, no rain, like the next 4 days. So it's going to be fantastic. Hope you get a chance to get out and enjoy the weather. We always enjoy our conversations this time on Thursdays with our next guest, Elliot Freeman from Sportsnet. You should check out his work, 31 Thoughts. It's a fantastic read, and he now joins us. Elliot, how you doing?
Not bad. How are you guys doing today?
We're doing fantastic, and I can get used to kind of news breaking in the league. I feel like every Thursday right before we're about to have you on, and indeed a little bit of news today with the NHL and the PA agreeing on an opening date for formal training camps. What do you make of it?
Isn't it nice in the sense that it makes our jobs easier?
Sure. Not going to lie.
Yeah,
yes.
I like it too. We don't have to search for things to talk about. So I think that the key thing is that I think there were some people kind of getting anxious for a date. I think they were kind of sitting there and saying, hey, like the NBA came out, they kind of know what their dates are now. What are we aiming towards here? What are we working out towards? Like, what's our target? And a couple of weeks ago, the league had sent out something that there wasn't going to be any training camp before July 10th. And then you start to hear rumors. Well, okay, well, maybe it'll be July 10th. And then someone said, well, maybe July 15th. And I heard people say closer to August 1st. And nobody seemed to have a straight answer. So I think what the league and the players wanted to do was just give everybody a target, work towards this. Now, it's not a guarantee. They still have to get some agreements done. They have to get the protocol done in terms of, you know, what training camps will look like, what the game setup will look like. And then also they've got to get like a kind of a, might not be a complete collective bargaining agreement, but the framework to one. Because I think the players want to know if they come back, what are the economics going to look like? Not just for this year, but going forward for a few years. So, I think it's legitimately a lot of hard work. I mean, they are still grinding away, and guys tell me it's a mountain of work they got to get done, and it's only a month away, but I think they're committed to trying to get it done.
We had this conversation earlier in the show, and I just want to get your take on it. Now, we were talking about a different sport, but I'm just going to phrase it, and you can talk about the NHL, and if you want to weave in another sport, if you have a strong opinion one way or the other, feel free to do so. Do you think when it comes time for whenever the hub cities are announced and it just comes time for you to report –
mm-hmm.
Whether it's the NBA down in Orlando, the NHL, and fill-in-the-blank two hub cities, do you think there's going to be a player or players that will say, you know what, I've been thinking about it, I'm thinking about it, now it's time to leave, and I'm uncomfortable with this, and I'm not doing it? Do you think that's going to happen?
Yes, I do. And I think some people will be because of health reasons. You know, there are people who have underlying conditions that they may not feel comfortable about it. I mean, the other thing that kind of gets lost in everything that's going on right now, we're starting to see some spikes in certain areas, right? So it looks like we're kind of heading into the second wave. I mean, people have been cooped up inside for a long time. The weather's getting nicer. Life has been disrupted so much in the last few months. Like, you know, people are not built to live like this. So we're seeing some spikes, and I think that might, make some people nervous, scare them a little bit. Some people might just say, look, I'm not comfortable. And I know that the NBA is kind of working through that right now. I'm sure the NHL is too. And I think that's kind of, but I would be surprised if there wasn't one for some kind of reason.
Okay.
Now, the other thing too is, and I'm working on this for the blog today, and I don't mind, you know, just saying it's not a huge deal, but the, you know, in the NBA last week, the commissioner, Adam Silver, went on TNT and he said that they're talking about some restrictions for certain coaches just to protect themselves. And one of the coaches' agents kind of went public and said, I don't think the coaches are in agreement with that. Like in terms of you can't coach if you're in a certain age or you have to wear a mask. And I looked into that today, and it sounds like the NHL is going to leave that up to each individual coach to decide, you know, what they want to do. Are you comfortable or not? And so it doesn't sound like there's going to be a blanket rule. So what the players are going to have to decide individually, it looks like the coaches will too.
The NBA is what sparked the conversation. You're right. That's kind of leaked out there that there are players saying that they're uncomfortable. So you tend to side more on Chase's side. He felt strongly too, and I said, I don't see it, because here's where I am, and I said, I don't have a clue if I'm going to be right or wrong. I'm not rooting for anything. I'm just, so here's where I get confused on why this would happen. If that were the case, why wouldn't, like, nothing is going to change from now until the time it's going to report, whether you have a health condition or the climate of, you know, the pandemic, the global pandemic. Like, nothing is going to change on either front. So if you felt that strongly, and certainly that is with more than within your rights to feel that strongly, to however you feel, then why wouldn't you just come out and say it now? Like, if you felt like, yeah, I'm just uncomfortable with all this, and this just isn't going to work for me, I appreciate you guys doing everything on your end to make it safe as humanly possible for us. I'm not comfortable. I'm not going. Like, why wouldn't you just come on out and tell everybody, your team, the organization, like, I'm out? That's where, you know, that's where I get stuck.
That's a good question. I mean, maybe – I wonder if some guys already know. And they're just – like, if you take a look at it, I think we've had, what, 6 positive tests in the NHL? Was it 3 Ottawa – I mean, I'm talking about players. Mm-hmm. Was it 3 Ottawa, 2 Colorado, 1 Pittsburgh? You know, we don't know any of those players. They chose to keep it private. And I wonder if some guys are just saying either they haven't made a decision yet, or they're saying, I don't want it to be public unless it has to be public. You know, some people might want to be private about this kind of a thing. I would bet that I'm sure some of these guys already know privately and have talked to their teams about it. You know, one of the players that everybody's kind of, or not everybody, but people have talked about is Max Domi of the Montreal Canadiens. He's a type 1 diabetic. A lot of the research has indicated that, you know, type 1 diabetics are vulnerable to this. He hasn't said much, but his general manager, Mark Bergevin, said if the doctors say Max can't play, then he can't play and we support it. So I just think that it's probably a privacy thing, guys, as much as anyone else. I think the other thing about this, and, you know, a lot of hockey players, they kind of try to time it so that they have, if them and their partners have children, they do it in the summer, right? And that's another tough call for a lot of people. You know, you have a newborn, are you going away for 3 months? So, I mean, and I don't blame anyone. This is such weird and unusual and, as we all say, unprecedented times. I think to each their own. You make the call you need to make for you and yours.
Yeah, well said.
Talking to Elliot Freeman from Sportsnet, Hockey Night in Canada. Elliot is a former Vanderbilt Commodore and minor leaguer in the Blue Jays system. Let me congratulate the Blue Jays on getting Austin Martin from Vanderbilt. You're going to love him. He is a pure hitter. I don't know how much excitement was up there, but we all thought he was going to go second. For sure.
Yeah.
When he slipped to fifth, I thought, here's the Blue Jays already with some really exciting young hitters, and I think he could jump right in there.
Well, they're pretty excited up here. I know that. Like, when he said that he was a former teammate growing up with Bo Bichette, who plays for the Jays, people were even more excited. The reaction up here was very positive. There's no question about that. And, like, a lot of the fans up here, you know, the fans up here are pretty sophisticated when it comes to baseball. Like, the Blue Jays are a big part of our city and our country, and they kind of know what's going on. But, you know, when someone like Dan Schulman tweets, you know, that this is big for them to get him, you know, people will just jump all over themselves to get on the bandwagon. And one of the guys I work with at the sports radio station up here, his name is J.D. Bunkus. He had a great tweet last night. He tweeted out, I've only heard of Austin, of Austin 5 minutes ago, but if the Jays hadn't taken him, I'd be furious. Like, that was the kind of reaction that when everybody found out that, you know, he was, the people thought he should have gone second overall, like the people up here were pretty ecstatic. So he's got a pretty happy fan base he's going to come up and meet.
Elliot, we've, as you can imagine, we've had a lot of interesting and profound discussions about diversity, race relations, et cetera, the last few weeks.
Yeah,
I recall something you wrote. I feel like it was earlier this season on Kim Davis, who is sort of the representative for the NHL, who they hired a couple of years ago to try to introduce more diversity. Their slogan is "Hockey is for everyone," and I have no doubt the intentions to make that true. But I really feel like it's a challenge to make that happen. I don't see as many minorities coming up through the pipeline as I'd like to see. I guess after being involved in the game up close for the last generation or so. But I have been nothing but 100% impressed with Kim Davis. She spoke to the broadcasters 1 year, and she was just awesome. But tell me what's going on there. What do you think the league's plans are going forward to try to take advantage of what's happening here and move it into some positive change?
Well, one thing I agree with you is about Kim Davis. I mean, she's got a real presence. Like, when she enters a room, you notice she's there, right? And she's not easily intimidated by anyone. And, you know, we had her on our podcast last week, and actually I'm writing about this today, too, in the notes. And, you know, one of the things that I think that we have more minority representation as players than maybe we ever have. You know, you look around, you see more and more players, whether they're black or they're Asian or they're, you know, something else, they're out there, and there's more and more coming. I notice that all the time. Where I think in the crowds, I see, you know, more and more people who just look different. And I think that's important. Where I think the problem is, guys, is that when these players are done playing, it doesn't translate enough. Where I think the sport really has, and I think there will be a lot of pressure to change this, is off the ice, in the boardroom, on the benches, among coaches, executives, and even in media. I don't want to accept ourselves from that. I think the pressure on that is going to be enormous to change it. And, you know, I think one of the problems is that people kind of look at those different parts of the game and they say, you know, it's not for me. So they don't even go in that direction. Kim Davis told a story about her son went to an all-male school in Connecticut, and he gave up hockey because he didn't feel welcome. And, you know, that's kept a big impression on her. So I think what you're going to see, and yesterday, for example, I had a long conversation with Javier Gutierrez, who's now the first Latino president and CEO of an NHL team hired by the Coyotes. And he talked about, he gave me three stories about where his family, which is Latino, he was born in Mexico and he grew up in San Jose, has a positive feeling of hockey. But I think that's what's going to happen. And I asked him if she believed in a Rooney rule. She doesn't. She doesn't think it works. And she says there's other ways to do it than that. But I think it's pretty obvious that the one line she said is, we have to go to the people that we want to attract. And I think that's going to be the thing. I think it's not only growing the game in terms of minority players, it's going to be growing it in terms of, okay, once you're done playing, you can still have a career in the sport. And what is that, whether you're male or female or no matter where you're from? And I think that is the thing you are going to get attacked over the next few years, is diversifying the look of the sport off the ice.
We're talking to Elliot Friedman of Sportsnet. He joins us every Thursday at 1 o'clock here on Darren Donick and Chase. So along with everything that you've brought up so far, we've been talking about that. But, of course, the vote is in for season awards, and the question remains, Roman Josi, does he win the Norris Trophy for the league's best defenseman, or is it going to go to John Carlson? I feel like it's between those two. But how do you think this is going to shake out?
It's going to be tight. I got to tell you, like, it's those two guys. And I have to say, the Predators and the Capitals, it's not only between the two players, it's almost like it's between the two organizations, right?
Definitely. Yeah. Definitely.
PR machines.
Like, yes. They're going all out. And I'll tell you, like, the Predators and the Capitals are two of the best at doing that. They are both really they're both really proactive organizations in terms of, you know, pushing their players, which is credit to both of them. Those are the two on my ballot, and I have to pick between them. And
do you like that, Elliot? Do you like having the information? This goes back years down here. I can remember, you know, campaigns for Heisman people. Remember, there's a famous story of
100%.
Who was the guys? Joey Harrington from Oregon. Nike put him on a big billboard, yep, to try to hype him up for the Heisman. But I know some people in the industry are like, don't tell me how to do my job. I know how to look up stats. I'll make my own opinion. Thank you. So how much do you like maybe seeing some numbers that you hadn't seen maybe?
At the end of the day, guys, I would want to know that if something mattered to me, and I think it mattered, like they may not say it, but I think it matters to those guys, because I think if you're a competitor, you want to win it. I would want to know that my organization is doing everything it can to make sure I won. So I look at it that way, and I support it.
Yeah, absolutely. So a conversation I had with somebody earlier, Elliot, Ryan Porth on the Rundown, was, yep, we were kind of making our pitch for, you know, different, the other awards, not just the Norris. And when we got into the conversation about the Norris, we referenced Shea Weber, and when Shea Weber finished second to Nick Lidstrom and the other Carlson, and how, you know, it was a different time. The Predators were viewed, I think, in a different light at that point. Does that matter? It may not necessarily matter to you because you cover the league as a whole, but do you think that now that the Predators are viewed as a contender for most years, I know this has been a weird season, but does that help Josi's case where it necessarily hasn't in the past?
Well, first of all, I think Kevin Wilson is still mad that Weber lost that one. I would say that it probably helps Josi that there's a much greater understanding of your organization, and that it's not just, you know, at the beginning it was not like a joke is the wrong word, but it was more like, it was kind of like, oh, the NHL's in Nashville. Like, how odd is that? Now I think you guys are a huge part of the league and are seen as such. Like, Nashville's a very important
franchise.
On the map. Yes. Oh, it's more than being on the map. Like, you're one of the best franchises in the league. In the terms of the way you do business and the way you compete on the ice. I also think that the thing that really helps Josi is, I think, you know, the more advanced analytics come out, I think there's been a greater appreciation for his game. Now, sometimes I question some of the methodologies used, or some of, you know, I'm always careful about, okay, what this number, this stat, what's it telling me? What does it mean? How is it put together? What's the methodology? But if you look at some of the stuff that I think a lot of us look at in terms of carrying the puck and doing things like that, the guy's in another level. So I think that, you know, we understand more about what every player does. I think that helps him. And, yes, I think the fact that Nashville has become one of the best franchises in the league, I think that helps him too. I mean, I'm not going to lie to you. This is a brutal decision. Some of my decisions I've started to make, I have to tell you that the heart, there's four guys for me this year. It's McDavid, it's Dreisaitl, it's Panarin, it's McKinnon. I'm really having a tough time with those four. And the other one's the Norris, like the Josi Carlson thing. It's a tough call.
Is this a situation where nothing's going to change? You can't fix it. It is what it is. But where you're sitting there as you're filling out your ballot going, I really wish we had the rest of the season, that they had those games that we missed.
That is totally true. 100% absolutely true. Yeah. And, you know, the other thing, too, is, like, you know, for example, in some of these trophies, you don't win them unless you make the playoffs, right? And, like, I will tell you this. I had somebody who called me the other day, and it was about McDavid. And McDavid got hurt a couple of years because the Oilers didn't make the playoffs. He would always get mad at that. He'd be like, I don't care if the Oilers don't make the playoffs. McDavid's the best player in the league. And we would always have this fight. And now he's like, wait a sec, Panarin is in, like, because he heard me mention Panarin the other day. And he called me right after and he says, Panarin wasn't even guaranteed to make the playoffs. The Rangers are the 11th seed. He shouldn't even be in the conversation. And I said, well, can I really penalize him because it wasn't over? And so this guy, he's a good friend of mine, but he called me names I haven't been called in a long time. So I think it does tell you that it's tough and it's emotional. And yes, I wish we had another 12 games or so, but it's not a perfect world, as we all know.
Is he a New Yorker? They can be tough sometimes.
No, he's a Canadian. Okay. But he's just, he always rips me for what he sees as my hypocrisy. And I always tell him, life is always better when you have no standards.
How's the beard, by the way? Are you ready to move on, or are you kind of getting used to this? And you kind of
no,
maybe...
my wife is. She's like, she's I'm ready. Not even married. It's not even the same person I married.
Well, you're getting a little bit closer, Elliot, to being able to.
I mean, the NHL has a date. Do you have a date? I mean, July 10th is the NHL date.
Was that kind of a big day, a big news for you and the beard?
I said puck drops when it comes
off.
Okay, so we got a little ways to go.
So we don't know yet. Yeah. All right. Always appreciate the visit. You and the family continue to be safe, and we'll do it again next week.
All right, guys. Take care.
All right, you too. That is Elliot Friedman from Sportsnet and the 31 Thoughts podcast, and they do an unbelievable job with that, and he covers the sport like nobody's business, and we always enjoy our conversations Thursdays at 1 o'clock with him. We'll come back. More of Darren, Donick, and Chase next. Some of the things on tomorrow's show to wrap up the week will be the usual suspects. You just made the list, so be thinking about that. Life generally serves you up. You just made the list. That'll be at noon. We've got Friday trivia. We'll do that. We did that last week without Willie, and we got some winners. And so I think it was pretty clear that
we did.
It was easier without Willie. Let's just be honest. I don't think we had the. We were not. Maybe we were just on straight heat. We didn't really have any movement.
We were like mentally and emotionally exhausted after the interview with Kevin Weeks.
To make excuses, but that is absolutely true. We were, yes. It was, in fact, we even contemplated even just bagging it because it was such a powerful interview. We're like, do we really want to do this? I mean, it was just like everybody just went, wow. You know, listening to Kevin Weeks, and it's like, okay, Friday trivia. And it was like, it just didn't feel right. But nonetheless, we're happy. We got a bunch of participants, and we got some winners. So it all worked out, and clearly we're pretty easy. That third pitch was, you didn't have to go to that third level. And I think that's where people shined. And so that will be in play tomorrow. We're back to the three of us. And so you'll have three rounds to get through, but don't be scared. You can do this. But to go along with that schedule, that normal Friday schedule, we've also just learned that Bryce Jarvis will join us at 10:15 tomorrow. So the 18th pick in the MLB draft last night in round one, young man who played his high school ball here, son of Kevin Jarvis, who joined us yesterday on the show. He is now the property of the Arizona Diamondbacks with the 18th pick overall, and he will join us tomorrow. We're
very
excited
cool.
about that.
Yeah, it'll be good.
Yeah, very
sure
excited.
That young man is going through a lot of good things, but a lot of different thoughts.
We've never had Bryce on, right? It's always been his dad, or did we? I don't remember.
I don't know. I don't think so. but I mean, not since I've been on.
So. Is Willie with us,
or
is he gone?
I don't think so.
Okay.
No, I don't think we had him.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure. I didn't think so, but I didn't want to misspeak on that. I was looking at something we haven't brought up at all on today's show. We've had a pretty fast-moving show today. There was a NASCAR race on FS1 last night, and congratulations to
Martin Truex Jr.
There you go. The top five markets for ratings last night.
And I haven't even looked at this.
Okay, so I've got five cities, the top five markets for last night's race at Martinsville. Give me a city. Give me a market.
Willie, I was going to let you have the softball.
I'll take Nashville, Tennessee.
There you go.
You're like, well, of course, Darren, you're asking it. Nashville's on there. They are. They're number five. Okay. Nashville came in number five.
Charlotte, North Carolina.
Number one.
Yeah.
Charlotte, number one. Nashville, five.
Birmingham, Alabama.
Great guess. When in doubt, Willie, always go with Birmingham, Alabama for TV ratings. Wow, shocker. That's a great guess, and it's a strike.
Atlanta, Georgia.
Atlanta, Georgia. All they do is lose sports. And they weren't watching, at least not in the top five.
Well, we'll enjoy that race date here at the fairgrounds here in a few years.
That's right.
Did I say that out loud? That was my outside voice.
Yeah, your mic's on. We heard it.
That was my outside voice.
Greensboro was number two.
Okay.
So Charlotte and Greensboro, number two, and two bigger markets for three and four. I got to be honest. I would have never guessed these. So I'm just going to go on and tell you guys.
Yeah.
Because
New York?
I wouldn't have guessed. No.
Well, Jacksonville, Florida.
It's okay. These are all good. Nope.
Chicago?
That's a good guess, too. Indianapolis and Cincinnati. How about that?
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I wouldn't have gotten this.
I know. Huh. Me either.
I was trying to think north, but I wouldn't have.
Indianapolis, like that one is like, what? Really? And Cincinnati at least is pretty close to a track. You know, they're pretty close to Kentucky Speedway. But Indianapolis?
I mean, Indy. Yeah, but.
What do they have to do? Oh, that's right. They got to have a brickyard. But still, I was surprised by that. I mean, I know they're in the schedule, and I get it. They have an historic track.
See, I didn't think Willie's guess of Birmingham was a bad one.
No, I absolutely thought Birmingham would be in there, but Nashville was right behind Cincinnati and Indianapolis.
That's good.
There you go.
That's good.
Elliot Friedman also looks like he agrees with you on a player or players that are going to indeed back out and not be a part of return to play, which was pretty interesting.
Yeah. I mean, we had a good discussion on that earlier, and it, you know, I mean, that's one of those, oh, I got to be right. No, I mean, this is obviously a different situation, but I just feel based upon what I've read about the NBA, but then just, you know, reading some stuff on Twitter and different interviews that people have done, it doesn't surprise me that there would be some of that thought. And I even referenced, you know, something that Marquise and I watched the WWE that they've had that because they've been going on through this whole thing. They haven't stopped, but there have been superstars that had been elevated to a point where they were either champions or going to win championships. And they said, yeah, I'm out. I'm not comfortable with this. And Roman Reigns, who has an underlying health condition, is one of those. And so they have stepped away, and I just feel like there are bigger things in sports. So that's one reason why I feel like it will happen. I feel like there's going to be some players. Now, what level are those players at? You know, how big of stars are they? I don't know. But I do think it's going to happen, and I thought it was interesting that Elliot agreed with that.
I think he was even saying he thinks it's going to happen, and basically I kind of took it as – maybe he was even hinting, you know, NBA, like, but it's going to happen in multiple sports.
Sure. I mean, I think it will. Now, with baseball, I'm going to put baseball over in its own little category because I don't know what to believe from baseball. I do think that there are going to be some players that say, hey, for whatever reason, health concerns, and they don't. But at the same time, I can understand some of the skepticism that come with anything coming out of baseball right now. But
you mean the real reason?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, if it's going to be very hard for me, if 50 games, let's just say it's 50 games they end up playing, and all of a sudden you have a pretty decent player come out and say, yeah, I'm not comfortable playing. I don't feel safe. I'm sorry. I am going to go, are you though? I mean, is that the reason? I mean, you're not going to get paid now. Now you're just getting nothing. But is that the reason? Okay.
Well, I think if you have a good partnership, I do wonder if there is a process that will happen. Let's say player has diabetes.
Like
and
Max
that
Stone.
Player says, you know, guys, I'd love to play. I really want to play, but I have a lot of doctors and people I trust telling me I really shouldn't play. Should that player be able to appeal to say he should get paid? Now,
I think so. For
the case of hockey, right, and in the case of basketball, the play it's not maybe as controversial because those players have already been paid the bulk of their salaries. Remember, they're paid during the season. I think there was only like three paychecks that they hadn't gotten when the season paused. So it may not be as much money because you don't really have to pay the players when the postseason is going on. They've been paid their yearly salary at that point. It may be more tricky in baseball, right? If somebody brings that to the table. So that's a really interesting question.
I think it's an interesting question that you raise because I do wonder if anybody would do that in their workplace. Say, hey, I've got a condition, and when or if they've already come back, most people I've talked to, nobody has been back in the office yet. But when it gets to that point, I wonder if there's going to be people out there say, I have this condition, and I think it's just safer for me to work at home. I'm not comfortable coming in. I wonder if that'll happen.
I think it's a really interesting point.
I'm sure it's happening already.
And how will companies handle that?
I think it's probably depending on the work that needs to be done. It's probably easier for some than others. But when you're talking about a team sport, you know, when you can't play for your team, that's a pretty big thing.
Absolutely.
You can't work from home.
Well, that's very true. That is very true. But you do wonder, like, how many, is this going to be something moving forward? Like I said, when people get back into the office place, that companies will have to, they also have to get in a room and figure out, okay, what if X amount of employees come to us and say, hey, we're just not comfortable. Like, we've got this condition or that condition, and we're just not comfortable right now coming back to the workplace with everybody, even though you've laid out, safety conditions and et cetera, we're just not comfortable because of what we've got going on health-wise. How they'll address that, how will they move forward with that? Will that be an easy decision, tough decision? I don't know. I'm just curious. I didn't really think about that until you just said it. And I know it is different than a team sport because they're relying on that person to be there. They can't work from home the last time I checked in a team sport. But in the workplace, you may have somebody that's in a valuable position at the workplace that says, hey, I'm not comfortable being there. And I do wonder how that would play out.
Well, I think you're assuming, too, that workplaces are going to be how they were, be normal. Because I believe that some businesses might look and go, my employees have actually been more efficient working from home. We've gotten more work out of them doing it that way. It's working, so why not just stick with this for a while?
Oh, I think that's already happening.
Yeah,
but there are also places that won't. I mean, they will just come back.
There are some
and
places
to,
that can't.
Right, or they can't. Right, but yeah. I mean, I think that's already happening and will happen.
Yeah,
those discussions are already taking place.
Sure, and I think you're going to see. I think you're going to see a lot more of that. So that you have to factor that in because that may take care of it on its own. But to your point, I for sure think there are going to be some employees go to their bosses and go, hey, I'm just not comfortable. I can't. I'm too worried about this condition, and until you know that I've had like whether it's a cancer or something that they've had in the past, until there's more of a treatment for COVID-19, I could totally see them saying that and being like, no, I need to stay home. And then what do? You can't really argue it. I mean, are you gonna punish somebody for, you know, it's like I was listening to Woj on ESPN last night say that about the NBA players. Like, you can't really punish a player that comes to you with legit evidence that they have a, you know, for whatever reason, they're not going to be able to play, and punish them for it. So I think the same applies to the workplace.
Yeah, I do wonder if it'll be, like I said, is that an easy decision? Is that a tougher decision? I guess, depending on the case. Speaking of tough decisions, I just saw this while we were talking back and forth. Did you see where Coca-Cola has told Major League Baseball they're ending their endorsement, their sponsorship, their major sponsorship with them?
Oh, I have not seen that.
Yeah, that just came out.
Does the contract run out?
Nope. The spokesman for Coca-Cola said, following a review of all Coca-Cola North America marketing assets at the conclusion of 2019, we have made the decision to end our national sponsorship with Major League Baseball. We will continue to support 16 MLB teams at the local level, but not at the national level. They've been a major sponsor of baseball since the start of 2017 season.
Hi, I'm a fire. I just got lit up under you. That's what that is.
Now, we have good. No idea
maybe they
whether
need,
there's
they might
any,
need a little fire.
Well, I don't know if there's any, you know, if those dots connect or not. There's a possibility.
I like the timing. If somebody in there is a baseball fan, maybe they're wielding their power a little bit, then
yeah,
so be it.
Because we haven't really talked about that aspect of it, of when do the sponsors, when do the corporate businesses go, hey, listen, we're spending some good money with you guys here. Get this figured out. Like come on.
You think Coca-Cola spends some good money with MLB?
I would venture.
I think
to
so.
Guess.
There's some. I've been to some games where they've had available the ability to buy a Coke.
Yes, I mean, I am a fan of a team that had a giant Coke bottle as a part of their stadium.
Yeah, I feel like I know one of the 18 teams that they're supporting on a local level.
Well, there is a market.
Well, considering they're based in that city.
Considering that's their home base. I'm going to say you're probably still going to see Coke at a Braves game.
Yes.
There is a giant Coke bottle out there.
But when it comes to on a national level, Coke says, I'm out. Sorry, baseball. We're out. We're gonna end this agreement after three seasons.
It's a guess, I'm assuming, but I think
it didn't
it's an
end because it
guess.
Says in the article that they chose to end their agreement after three seasons.
Yeah.
So Coca-Cola has informed them we're out.
Yeah. I kind of feel like they might be these situations could be connected.
Well, it looks like they had maybe an option of coming back, and they chose not to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting timing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Here on June 11th. All right, we will come back and put a bow on Thursday's show of Darren, Donick, and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game. I was sitting here during the break, NFL Live, and watching Mike Vrabel do an interview on NFL Live with Diana Russini. She has become like the Titans reporter. Isn't it amazing? I feel like any Titans news coming on the television side of things from ESPN is Diana Russini. I don't know when all that relationship with her and the Titans franchise was formed, but I feel like every piece of news on the TV side when it comes to ESPN is through her. Do you guys get the same feeling?
Yeah.
She's been on all the time. She really has.
She's like, definitely
when
made
did
herself
that
the Titans person.
Yeah, right. When did that happen, and
she
and how did that happen?
Up the charts.
Yeah, she's become like the Titans insider for, you know, ESPN on the television side of things. So pretty interesting. But I did listen in just a couple minutes while we were in the break. So we had Ivan Maizel on, and Willie, you referenced the article that he put out there about the Heisman and Reggie Bush.
Yeah, I think it's an interesting debate. It's made for sports talk, so I'll ask you guys, because I've tried to give it some thought myself. And I'm also asking myself, do I feel differently today than I would have 10 years ago or 15 years ago when something like this happened? So Reggie Bush, as Ivan Maisel has pointed out, the period of time that was part of the penalties, you know, there was penalties to Reggie Bush and there was penalties to the program. Part of the penalty for Reggie Bush was 10 years disassociated with USC, whatever that means. But basically, he was persona non grata, couldn't be around, all of that stuff. And Reggie Bush has now become a pretty, you know, solid level football analyst for Fox, right? He's out there. He had a solid NFL career, so it's not like he's been, you know, completely unsuccessful since all of this happened. But there was a very significant penalty to Reggie Bush. He also had to forfeit the Heisman Trophy. And remember, we had a debate once upon a time, should they give the Heisman Trophy to Vince Young? And Vince Young, I think, publicly said, I don't want it. Right? So nobody officially has the Heisman Trophy from that year. So the question is now that he's paid the penalty by NCAA rules. The Heisman is its own different thing, right? It's separate. So should they go ahead and just give him the Heisman Trophy back?
Anybody feel strongly? Ivan was obviously in the camp of yes. Should have never had it taken away to begin with.
I agree with him. I think he won the Heisman Trophy. And when you think about the Heisman Trophy from that year, everybody's going to go, yeah, Reggie Bush won it.
Well, I guess where I'm at is, what does a condo for mom and dad, or a car, a dwelling, a car, a vehicle, money, whatever, what did that have to do with the play on the field? Answer, nothing.
Nothing.
It just meant that's where he went to school. That's it.
Yeah.
So what did that have to do with his performance that season? Did a dwelling, a vehicle, or cash change his performance? No. It just dictated where he did it. So to me, I don't know what you're proving. I mean, it was given to the best player in the sport on the field, and if you watch that season, he was the best player in the sport on the field.
I don't know
why you would take it away.
I have never understood why those in charge think that, oh, I'm going to strip you of wins if you're a coach that did something wrong, or, oh, I'm going to take the banner down. We're just going to pretend it didn't happen. I'm just going to erase it out of the history books. That'll show you. It never has done anything for me. I think it's silly. It's a silly punishment. I know that you're thinking, well, if I punish the school now, I mean, those players are gone. Reggie Bush is gone. But they do that anyway. So I've never understood it, because I'm always going to look at it and go, yeah, Reggie Bush won the Heisman. Whether he has the trophy or not, he won it. And good on Vince Young for saying, no, I don't want it, because what does that do? That he didn't win it. He didn't earn it.
And I think this even goes to another level. It's one thing if, you know, they won it, but they did cheat to get it, right? Which is, I guess, the argument in a lot of cases of why you vacate a title of some sort for a team, because they cheated to get it in some form. But Reggie Bush, it's not like he cheated on the field. Like, he got extra benefits off the field. Now, maybe, I mean, I don't know how far you want to take it, but basically, you know, he wasn't performance enhanced because his parents had a really nice condo and all of these things that were part of the story at the time. He was voted the Heisman Trophy winner. He wouldn't be the first, I don't think, if you look at the list of Heisman Trophy winners whose programs, after the fact, were hit for cheating on some level. But none of them have had their Heisman taken away. So I do think, especially, okay, you made your point. You know, he was kind of shamed for a while. They wanted him to pay a price for what happened. But I am sort of okay with Ivan's thing of, okay, he served his 10 years. Okay, so let's go back and move forward here. Give him the Heisman. I'm with him. I may have voted differently 10 years ago, but I feel all right about him having the Heisman now.
But you slipped the word sorta in, so I'm a little confused. You said I'm
give it to
sorta.
Him.
Give it back sort to of, him. Kinda, maybe.
He's leave. Saying, give it to him.
Give it to him.
Then leave Soren out of it.
If you want to crown him, then crown him.
That is going to do it for us today. Good show, and we look forward to wrapping up the week tomorrow. Have a wonderful day. Enjoy the weather. Be safe. We want you back with us tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. We'll see you then.
Moro Casino. America's Social Casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's Social Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.